We are the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in the New York groove.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York girls.
But this new season we're about to enter, the Knicks taking no shorts, just like winter.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Everybody, welcome to the New York Knicks podcast, episode 375. I am Jay, and the guy who sounds like he's dying is Mark.
Yes, yes, I sound like the Knicks' hope.
I think the Knicks' hope is actually getting better.
It is getting better?
It is getting better.
As far as I understand, this was a wonderful week in the tank.
It was. There's only been two games since the last show. The Knicks lost them both. No, they didn't. They beat the Pacers, and they lost to the Nets.
I was so distraught when they beat the Pacers. I was like, what the hell? This is like, you blow. It was almost like I've never been so upset when a team won a game.
The sad thing is they were losing until the fourth quarter, too, and they decided to make this furious fourth quarter comeback. Which is not how you do it.
Yeah, but this ended up being the most amazing week for the tank. First of all, could you have ever dreamed? You saw the Nets in the Knicks would play the Nets twice in three games, and you had to think, wow, we're probably going to win both those games. At best, we'd split them. There's no way on God's green earth we can lose both games to the godforsaken Nets.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't ask for a better scenario as far as that goes. The thing that concerns me is there's a couple other teams around where the Knicks are right now. And the Suns, they decided that they are just going to sit Bledsoe for the rest of the season.
Yes.
A.K.A. their arguably best player. A.K.A. arguably the best player on my fantasy team.
They're playing Devin Booker, though.
So I'm not happy about my fantasy team, but that's besides the point. Well, Devin Booker's young. The point is, and the Lakers are sitting a bunch of their guys, and a lot of teams that know they're not making the playoffs are sitting their veterans and letting the young guys get a lot of runtime.
The Knicks have a shot at the finals.
The Knicks played in the two games this week. Carmelo Anthony played 41 minutes and 37 minutes.
Shot at the finals.
And Rose played 32 and 33.
Prove to me we don't have a shot at the finals.
If by the finals you mean 10th place, we do have a slight shot there.
NBA might change the rules. 10 teams get in the playoffs. Could happen before April.
So, I mean, I know you're going to say, like, okay, Baker and Hernan Gomez played. Randall's hardly been playing at all. I mean, at this point, shouldn't we just be seeing Endower, Plumlee, Kuz? Like, shouldn't all those guys just be... I don't get the point of playing Carmelo 41 minutes.
We got to win every game. You heard what Horsack said. He's going to keep playing the veterans until management tells him otherwise.
Right, but shouldn't management be telling him otherwise? That's my point.
We are such a directionless team.
I mean, I get it from Horsack's point of view. His job is to win games, and Carmelo's better than Plumlee. I get that. But every other team is throwing in the towel, and the Knicks are still trying to win. Why?
Well, maybe Phil, in his infinite wisdom, thinks the best way to tank is to have Hornacek try to win games.
I mean, the sad thing is we lost to Detroit and then two against Brooklyn trying to win. So, there's that. I mean
that, they gave up 120 points to Brooklyn, and I said,
twice.
Holy crap, this is unbelievably worse. And they did it. They got worse. 121 points the next time. It's unbelievable. How do you turn this around?
Like, I mean,
how far away are we from actually being good?
This is them trying to win. So those people that are arguing that we shouldn't try and tank, why? This is our ceiling. Like, we're healthy. Other than Noah is the only guy on the entire roster that's injured.
Porzingis didn't play the other night.
Yeah, but he's back. I mean, he didn't. Yeah, he missed one game, but like, he's not like out.
Yeah, but the Knicks have a shot at the playoffs. I don't know what the Knicks are doing. And you would think they'd sign 10-day contracts. You think they'd be trying to improve the team. I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, the Timberwolves are signing 10-day contracts still.
You would think at the very least they would say, hey, we need to evaluate Randall, Baker, Kuz, see what we got with the roster. We know what we have with Melo. We know what we have with Rose. We're not going to learn anything more.
Bruno says we shouldn't try to tank because if we play the young guys, we're more likely to win with this team.
Exactly.
This might be true. I mean, look what happened when we played Randall 20-something minutes.
Phil has figured it out. He realizes the young guys are key to winning, and we can't do that right now. Derrick Rose is coming back. You know that. Oh, I know. I talked about it last show. He's back. Why don't you just, like, you should get a Derrick Rose tattoo because he's here for life.
Yeah, I mean, you could pretty much lock that in at this point.
Yeah.
If he wasn't coming back, we wouldn't be playing him 30 to 35 minutes a game.
I don't know what they're doing. I have... How are you trying and you lose to the Nets twice?
I don't know. I don't think the Nets have beaten anybody. You know, do you know when the last time we won two games in a row is?
I don't know. Did it happen this lifetime?
It didn't happen in 2017.
You know, the Knicks have taken I saw some interesting stats. That's so bad.
I just did that just hit you?
First, yeah, it took me a second to take that in. The Knicks are, first of all, I think we know the Knicks are the worst rebounding team, defensive rebounding team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. They take the most 2-point shots of anyone in the NBA. And they're in the top 10 worst for most contested shots. Most of their shots are contested 2-point shots. They take more of those than anyone else.
I mean, I know a lot of people are going to say we're being too negative, but please email us, nynickspodcast@gmail.com, for something positive, because I'm really struggling to find anything positive about this team right now.
Hernan Gomez had a good game the other night. He had a bunch of rebounds, a bunch of points.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a take on is he really bad at defense, or is it just like a team thing?
I think it's a team thing. So here's a positive. If Phil doesn't give any directive, just tells Hornacek to keep trying to win, and they can't win, maybe this will put Phil over the top with, like, finally going, like, okay, it's not working. I got to get rid of Melo, and I got to get rid of Rose, because the team tanked not on purpose.
Yeah, I feel like instead he's going to re-sign Rose and fire Hornacek.
I don't think Hornacek's getting fired. I think if Hornacek was his first coach, I think Hornacek would be done. But the fact that he's I think two things. I think the fact that he's been through Rose already, I mean, been through Fisher already, and Rambis is not really a second coach, but Rambis has spent some time there also. I feel like he might feel like it's too insane to fire another coach. But I also think the fact that he went to Hornacek and said, hey, can I meddle and do the triangle again? And Hornacek said, yep, sure. And that bought Hornacek a new life for next year. Mm. And Jay, you know, they're going to figure out who are the learners on this team, who can be taught, and who are good for the triangle. And then we'll draft someone good for the triangle. Are you concerned at all that Knicks will draft a guy with the triangle in mind?
Of course. So next time I think you're going on vacation next week, but we're going to have a draft expert on. I was waiting until we had a better idea where we're going to end up in the draft, because
are you going to have him on next week? You should. I'm going to be gone this next week, but Jay should have him on.
Sure. I could do that next week. I feel like we're going to be somewhere between 5 and 7. I don't think we're going to go up or down much more than that. So.
But that means you can end up as low as if you're at 7, you can end up at 10.
Well, I mean, if you're in 7, you could also end up at 1. But
yeah.
It usually doesn't move much more than a spot or two.
We're gonna be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, unless we go on some kind of miracle run just to destroy everything we have left.
I mean, the good thing is we're playing 12 straight playoff teams right now. Well. Actually, Chicago looks like they're throwing in the towel. But we're playing teams, 12 straight teams that are ahead of us in the standings.
And a bunch of teams are shooting themselves in the foot, by the way. And a bunch of teams are shooting themselves in the foot in the whole tag race. Philly beats the Celtics today. We could pass Philly.
Yeah, we're only a game away from passing Philly now. That was good. Philly won two in a row. That's good news.
Mavs won again. Sacramento, they won again. Not today, but are you amazed how bad the Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis thing has been so far?
Yeah, I mean, I know they won their last two, but they're
losing again.
I'm not totally shocked, just because other than Holiday, that team's terrible. They have three guys.
You should have, these guys should be, they're two of the best young players in the NBA. This team should be winning games. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing the Knicks did, where they got their two best players.
The Pelicans won today? Oh, yeah. I didn't realize they came back and won. Never mind.
Yeah.
I thought they lost.
No, they won two in a row.
Oh, okay, never mind. Okay, it's starting to work. Never mind.
Well, I mean, it's the same problem the Knicks did a few years back. They got their two best guys playing the same position.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's just interesting. I have not got a chance to really watch them. Have you watched them play yet?
No. The weird thing about the New York market is we don't get a lot of Pelicans games on TV.
That we don't. I'll wait till the Knicks play them. And then when the Knicks play them, they'll be like, wow, these guys look amazing. I don't know how they lose a game.
Unfortunately, that won't be till next year.
Whatever. That's probably when the next time I really will want to watch a game.
Yeah.
So the... So here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that someone pointed this out in an article I was reading, and it was a very good point. So Phil has two more years left, right?
Yeah.
And we're all probably on the belief that at this point he won't opt out. He'll probably be here for two more years, right? And it'll be two more years of triangle, give or take. And then whoever takes over, there is not a prayer in goddamn hell they will do the triangle. So we'll spend two more years tinkering with this triangle, and then it'll be gone.
It's going to be like American politics. Trump got in, and he undid everything Obama did. Whoever comes in after Phil is going to undo everything Phil did.
And I'm not even saying like that's like a – I'm just saying it's like a weird thing that like we're changing the system that no one in the NBA wants, and that in 2 years will be gone anyway.
And we all know it's going to be gone in 2 years.
There's no way you're going to hire whoever it is that's going to be like, oh – well, I'm going to continue the triangle. It sounds like a really good idea.
The crazy thing is we're going to build a roster based on a system that we're not going to use 48 months from now.
Yeah, exactly.
24 that months is, from now.
Yeah. We're definitely not using it 48 months from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a really weird thing that like this triangle, because it's one thing when you're in year one and you're like, we're going to use this for a while. But now you're like, two more years to go. And you're basically starting over with the roster again next year.
Yeah. Because
there's going to be a bunch of turnover in the roster. It's going to be no. Yeah. I feel like at the end of 5 years with Phil, we will be in a weird situation. I mean, hopefully he gets more young players here and whatever. This draft pick is so goddamn important.
This is probably the most important draft pick
since
Ewing.
No, well, KP, you could argue the same thing, but KP was the most important draft pick.
Yeah.
But this draft pick is pretty up there also.
But, like, I mean, if this draft pick isn't good, that could drive KP away.
Well, but then you have a whole other year of tanking, I guess.
Yeah, you think KP is going to want to stay after, like, 3 years of being miserable?
When can he leave?
I think he could leave the same time as Phil.
Oh, really? Wonderful. By the way, KP was in practice. He was wearing a shirt that said, "When can I leave?"
I wouldn't be surprised. Him and Billy will just go on to be the front court of the future for some other team.
So do you want to talk about the playoffs at all?
The playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know. Teams are like the playoff race. Golden State's falling apart completely.
Yeah, who would have thought? Like, I mean, I know Durant's great, but they got three other All-Stars. I don't get how they're so bad.
I don't know. They're horrible. They have no. Okay, here's a question for you. We can talk more seriously about the playoffs in later episodes, but Cleveland has been okay, not their dominant self, and Golden State without Durant is not their dominant self. Both are very good teams. Do you think either one of them, there's a chance they'll actually get knocked off before the finals?
I think there's a...
So Cleveland first.
Cleveland, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Cleveland, you know everyone's going to miraculously get healthy right before the start of the playoffs.
They'll turn it up. And I just don't see a Boston, Washington, not Washington, definitely. Toronto, they'll give a Cleveland battle, but having LeBron is going to be the yak factor in any of those series. And Golden State, maybe San Antonio does it.
San Antonio, even Houston, I mean, same thing's going to, I mean, if Durant comes back right before the end of the season and he's healthy, they're fine.
Is he supposed to?
Apparently he's recovering pretty quickly. He's actually traveling with the team on their next road trip. And usually don't travel unless you're close to being healthy.
When they say recovering, do they mean like we're injecting with steroids day and night?
Oh, absolutely. He probably went to Wade's secret hideout in Miami where he miraculously gets healthy every time.
Yeah. I'm going to say Golden State gets upset. And then the other thing, have you watched any of March Madness? How are these guys doing? Our potential draft picks?
Also, Golden State has won 3 in a row, and they, I mean, it's not like they're struggling that bad.
Jay, don't change the narrative. The narrative is Golden State is a flaming disaster. They have twice as many losses as they should have. They're almost tanking, Jay. Don't change the narrative.
The crazy thing is they're 9.5 games better than the Cavs right now.
Yeah, they're really good.
I have not watched any of the college games.
Well, how are you going to scout our next draft pick? You got to call it now. Who's our next draft pick? You were calling KP like 6 months ago. You were calling KP 6 months before the draft. You got to call someone.
Assuming we don't get Fultz.
Well, why are you assuming Fultz? Because he's number one?
He's supposed to be like by far the best. He's like the Towns of this year's draft.
Okay.
Assuming we don't get Fultz.
I've heard Ball will fit in pretty well here because he's supposed to be like a lots of drama, which is perfect.
Let's go with I'm gonna agree with Strive and say Josh Jackson.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. You want to go to questions?
Yeah, let's go to questions.
Oh, are you doing a live read tonight?
No.
Why not?
They're on hold until we switch networks and stuff.
I thought we switched networks already.
We did. We got to let it settle in. I was told not to, all right?
Okay, whatever. Should we make our own live read?
Sure.
Okay, go, Jay.
Today's show has been brought to you by the CPA Association. So they're really good. And
CPA, that's the exam that Jay's been that's been agonizing Jay. And the CPA exam is here to tell you we will hold Jay down and keep him on the show and not let him move his career forward. Thank you, CPA.
Andrew's asking why we would take a small forward. Best player available?
Well, we're hoping that you trade Melo.
That too. I mean, Melo's going to be 33, so it's not like drafting a small forward is going to be like getting in the way of Melo on his rapid decline.
Yeah, if Melo was 25, it'd be kind of stupid, but it does make sense at 24. And he can spend a year or two learning all Melo's bad habits.
I mean, maybe it'll push Melo out. I don't know.
Yeah.
NYKnicksPodcast@gmail.com. Nick writes, fun yet sad fact, Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game was against the Knicks. Nick effect goes way back, guys. The all-time Nick effect.
That is great. The all-time one of the greatest scores of all time got their highest score against the Knicks. That is a Knick effect.
It's always the Knicks.
I have a question. So does that mean that Kobe's 81 was number two, right?
Yeah.
So is Kobe's 81 worth more? Because the Knick effect usually bumps your score up like 20 points or 20 or 30%.
Oh, that's
like
true.
Against a real team, Will's score is probably only worth like 78 or 79 points. So really, Kobe's the leader for her.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, against the Knicks, you can't count the score. You can't hold those stats against like other teams. It's not fair.
let's see. We don't have any more emails. We don't have Twitter. We're getting off easy today.
Oh yeah, I didn't even bother with Twitter today. James, we're doing Facebook because I can barely freaking talk.
Gilliam writes, "You two seem very worried that the Knicks might sign to a max Teague, Hill, or Holiday, but I think they'll re-sign with their teams. If they don't sign any of those and they let Rose go, and we don't draft a point guard, then what would you do?"
I'd find someone young and just give him the job and see how it goes. I mean, we're kind of screwed if we don't draft a point guard. I don't want to give out a giant contract, so see what you can find. I know it sounds crazy, but let's just see what we can find.
Right. I mean, there's Yogi Ferrell's out there.
No, he's not. Didn't Dallas already sign him?
Yeah, I'm saying Yogi Ferrell's. As in that type of guy is out there. You know, Tim Frazier had a you know, he's out of rotation now. But, you know, there's players like that.
You don't, just because we need someone doesn't mean we have to throw a ton of money. Like, we need a center, so we just threw a ton of money at Noah, and that screwed us.
Right. Like, if somebody's not there, then, then we don't need to overpay by $20 million for somebody who was there.
There'll be other guys that can play point guard. Let's just see what happens. I mean, like, next year is going to be a tough year also. We're not saying that next year has to be a playoff year. We want to improve the roster and get things going forward. But if a point guard takes another year to get a point guard, it takes another year.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to get one of these really good point guards. The way the Knicks things go, I feel like they're going to draft that guy, I said.
They have 2 second-round picks also, right? I think they have two. So I think the Knicks, just as big as finding getting an elite player in the first round, the Knicks have to get some value in the second round. One of these two players has to turn into a real NBA player.
Yeah.
Pick guys from Europe, whatever the Knicks know how to do, just find someone in the second round.
Yeah, Strive just said Frank Mason's a second-round pick, and he played really well today. He's only 5'11", but, you know, I think...
those are the guys you want, though, like the like Isaiah Thomas.
I was just about to say, Isaiah Thomas is like 5'8", 5'9". He's doing all right.
Yeah, he was the last pick in the second round. You realize that he was the last pick in the draft, and he turned out to be one of the best players in that draft.
Gilliam writes, "With the trade deadline over and LaVine injured, Rubio has exploded. Do you think his latest performances make it impossible that the trade they were trying with New York happens in the summer?" Have you seen what Rubio's been doing lately?
Well, the rumor is he was so excited by hearing that he would not have to play for the Knicks that he suddenly has upped his game. yeah, he's been playing so goddamn well. Why would the Knicks be able to get him? I think the Knicks' ability to get him is already passed.
Well, apparently we were about to get him, and the Knicks wanted another piece.
No, but I'm saying that Rose is going to be a free agent. The only reason that I guess your theory is here that the Minnesota still wants to unload the salary and they'll basically do it for nothing.
Right.
To get Rose's bird rights.
Do you know that Rubio has had 4 straight 20-point games?
Holy crap.
And in those 4 games, he's hit 7 out of 13 three-pointers.
Holy crap. How is he playing so well?
And he shot above 50% in all 4 of those games. And one of those games was a 19-assist game.
Holy crap. You think the Minnesota's rethinking, like, letting him go?
Maybe. I mean, if he can learn to shoot, he's been shooting, like...
He's still pretty young, right?
Yeah, he's I think 26.
Yeah, so like you might have to rethink like giving the reins to Zach LaVine. Maybe they move on from Zach LaVine instead.
Yeah, I never know. I mean, Rubio's just—he's been really good. I can't believe all the people who didn't want him thinking $14 million is too much.
I don't understand.
Knowing that we're gonna pay somebody like Teague $20 million.
I don't understand that Phil needed another piece in that draft in that trade.
Rubio's 26.
I don't understand how he needed another piece. They were like, "We'll take Rose, who you don't want anyway. We'll give you back a player. You don't have to go sign a free agent that you're not going to get."
Right, and Rose, who is worth absolutely nothing.
Feels like, I know how this works. Listen, I will just leave my phone. I don't know where my phone will be for hours. I'll finally find it with 3 minutes to go to the trade deadline. I'll call you guys, and I'll get a lot more value from it. You'll probably throw in Towns.
Tristan writes, will the Knicks continue the recent trend of having a different coach every year? I think he will. Mark thinks he won't.
Well, I would say in November, they will not have a different coach. Possibly in March, they will.
Okay.
I don't see them. Horacek will start the year, but if they're tanking next year, also I can see Horacek getting fired. But then, do you think Phil would actually hire an experienced coach? I mean, I know Horacek had coached before, but like a coach that actually has a real like been coaching for like 10 years.
It's possible, but are there many really good coaches out there that?
Or what about a guy from college? Hire a guy from college.
Right.
I mean, Phil at some point in his life went to college. So he has a connection to going to college.
He's heard of colleges.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe Phil. I can't believe how bad the Phil Jackson thing has worked out. I was so excited when they signed Phil Jackson. I just couldn't possibly believe it would go this poorly.
Gilliam writes, Philly won again. Who would you get from their team since they are better than the Knicks? Maybe Saric. He'll probably win Rookie of the Year. By the way, he was selected with the Knicks. The pick the Knicks traded for Melo. Well, that just ruined my day.
Wait, what? The pick they traded to Denver went to Philly?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And have you seen what Saric's been doing lately?
Yeah, he looks like he will win Rookie of the Year.
He's been really, really good.
But still, I don't know how they all fit in. If Embiid's healthy and Simmons is healthy, and I mean, I know Okafor is still the odd man out there, but like, can you play the three of them together? Simmons, because isn't Saric a power forward?
Power forward slash center, yeah.
Isn't Embiid a center slash power forward?
Yeah.
And Simmons, is he a power forward?
Think so.
Okay, I just want to clarify that.
I would also like to thank Victor for forgetting to set his roster during the playoffs.
Oh.
So I am going to the Final Four.
If you go to our website, you'll see. What do you see on the website, Jay? I can barely talk anymore.
TheNewYorkKnicksPodcast.com. Eric has been writing really good recaps of the games. So after each game, you can go check those out. Strive writes Simmons is a three. This is why we tried the stats guy experiment. We have the Nick effect up there, the running list of players who've had their best or second best game of the season against the Knicks. And I do the player power rankings once in a while.
Yeah, I guess he's a small forward. Says that here too. I don't know why I thought he was a power forward. I guess they can play them all together. Whatever. Philly's gonna be much better than us. Knicks suck. Jay, you're kind of giving up on the Knicks power on the power rankings.
Yeah, and you know, I missed 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and not one person's asked for him. So that made me feel great.
I'm asking for them.
Okay, well, I'll do it then.
But I want all the back weeks.
I'll do a new week. I don't know if I'm going to get all the back weeks done.
I want the goddamn back weeks, Jay. I don't want the back weeks for since I want the back weeks going back for a couple of years. If you can get me to the Ewing era, I want to see at least one thing where it said Patrick Ewing was the power rankings best player of the week.
You know what? The way this roster's going, Ewing might be the number one this week anyway.
Holy crap.
Let's see. Jaime writes, how bad do you think the Knicks are going to lose to the Clippers on Monday?
I mean, there's no chance to win that game, right?
I mean, the Clippers haven't been looking great, but that doesn't really mean anything.
I think the Knicks haven't been looking great.
Yeah, I say the Knicks lose by 14.
Let's look at the week ahead. Let's see what we got in the week of tanking. We got coming up, we got
Clippers, Jazz, Trailblazers, Spurs, all on the road before next episode.
Okay, Clippers, not a chance of winning.
Nope.
Jazz, not a chance of winning. Trailblazers, best shot there, but they have two fast, high-scoring guards.
Get ready for a Nurkic-Nick effect.
Yes, that's true also. And the Spurs are just the Spurs, and they don't take nights. They're not going to take a nap against the Knicks.
Even if they do, I mean, their bench is better than our starters.
Right. So this could be a fantastic week in the tank. Yeah. 0-4. And the following week, you got, after that, you got the Pistons, two against the Heat, the Celtics. We have a shot of running the table.
We could lose the rest of the season. It's in the cards.
Wow. That would be some level of tanking to the new level.
Yeah.
Okay. Derrick Rose has to play 47 minutes tonight. I think he's the key to the tank.
We can end up losing 55 games this season.
How many games did we win last year? 32?
Yeah, it's not looking good to get to there, to those lofty heights.
That is impossible. Everyone was always like, the thing they were saying middle of the season was, well, you know what? The Knicks aren't going to be good. They're obviously not being any good, but we're still moving forward. It's small steps. We'll still be better than 32 wins. Turns out we may not get to 30. Holy crap. I'm glad we never made the Vegas to make that bet, Jay. The over-under.
Yeah.
We were going to put down like $100.
Yeah, we would have lost all our money.
Yep.
Pat writes, down the well for Markel or take a fall for Lonzo Ball?
I like the first one.
Yeah, I like down the well. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Gilliam writes, would you rather throw $60 million 4 years offer at Hardaway Jr. or Andre Roberson? Oh, God.
No. Are you kidding me?
Those two things make me sad.
Holy... He thinks Hardaway's going to get a 4-year, $60 million offer.
He's been looking really good, too.
Holy.
I read something the other day that said when Cephalosha and Hardaway Jr. are on the court, the Hawks, like, dominate against other teams.
I mean, glad the Knicks got rid of Hardaway. I mean, it would be so much fun to trade with the Knicks because you know you'll actually get value.
He was horrible on defense, though. Like, I absolutely mean, horrible.
No one exactly was teaching him defense.
That is true. Alan writes, who would Jay pick as our player in this draft, the draft king?
Jay, you kind of already did that.
Yes. I'm going to stick with Josh Jackson. Fitting with the Knicks not drafting a point guard when they need a point guard.
Yeah. I think they're going to get a point guard.
I think if they get a top five pick, they'll probably go Monk. But if they fall out of the top five, they're going to go Jackson.
I thought Jackson's going top five.
I think it depends which teams are in there because different teams need different things.
I mean, that's a good point.
Martin writes, rate on how well the top 10 prospects in the draft do in the NCAA tournament. We will talk about that next week because Mark and I don't have any idea.
That would be yeah, that'd be a fair point.
But we will get somebody on who does. Alan writes, so did you see Ian Begley's piece the other day? Some good things, some bad things, and some ugly. That was the one I sent you, Mark, where he... oh, no, that wasn't. That was something else. I think, what was that, Low, where he just trashed the Knicks and he wouldn't even call them by name?
Oh, that was pretty funny. Is this the one he's talking about or a different one?
No, this is a different one.
This is the one, the Phil Jackson three-year anniversary piece?
Yeah, it's the opening line is "Get your head out of your ass, Mark."
Oh, yeah, that was Phil Jackson. I was screaming at a ref, but let's pretend he was screaming at me. I read that article. I was like, "Shit, Phil really doesn't like the podcast." that was the one they ripped on the Knicks. And that was the one they were talking about Phil not being here in 2 years, the triangle being gone.
Yeah, it's. I didn't know he was yelling at the refs. Like, I guess that's fine. I guess
I'm glad he's awake.
Hmm.
I'm glad Phil's awake.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. They're just. He needs to do more than yell at the refs. Like,
here's a question for you. If 3 years ago, instead of giving the entire team over to Phil, we gave the entire team over to Spike Lee, would the record be any different or any worse?
Mm.
Could Spike Lee have done worse than Phil?
I don't think so. And I think that...
You could argue he wouldn't have gotten Porzingis, say, but I don't know if the record would be any worse.
I he definitely wouldn't have signed Noah.
Yeah.
He probably wouldn't have signed Rose.
And it would actually be a... It would actually be like great news conferences because they'd be like, what do you think Melo should Melo got two technical fouls in this game. What do you think he should be going forward? And Spike Lee would be like, he should do the right thing. When he goes to Crooklyn, he should make sure.
This summer of Sam.
I mean, the Knicks, the season, we're just boys in the hood. We're just trying to make it happen here.
Hi, May writes, who are we getting in the draft? Also, just saying. So, somebody listens to our comedy podcast, The Brink of Sanity, where I was going on a rant about just saying.
Yeah.
So, you guys can check that out. We do that once a week as well.
Yes. Check out The Brink of Sanity. It's hilarious. And, yeah, if you check it out, you'll get two for one of us.
Exactly. Yeah, you can find us on iTunes. And he also writes, how do we beat the Pacers and lose to the Nets again? Hashtag go for the tank.
I mean, outside of, I guess being the Pacers, I mean, if we had lost the Pacers and split the Nets, I'd be just as happy. So I never thought we'd lose both of the Nets. That was just like almost amazing.
Yeah. And, oh, Joey Nicknuts sent us some Twitter messages at NY Knicks Podcast.
Perfect.
Joey Nicknuts here. Do you think Phil is waiting till the second round of the playoffs to unleash more triangle?
Yes. Yes. We will definitely be in the playoffs. And then when we go, we're going to go full triangle in the second round.
Because it'll just be unfair in the first round to a highly inferior team to do that to them.
Balls to the wall triangle.
And he also writes, do you think we will wait until the Eastern Conference Finals to use it against Cleveland?
I think... We're going to have a double secret triangle that will break for the finals.
Yeah. I mean, where else would you use it?
He'll be like, okay, we're going to Sosceles. And everyone's like, okay, break out of Sosceles. Ay, ay, ay. This whole goddamn. Why was not more made of the triangle when he had Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen or, like, Shaq and, like, why did we never even hear about it?
I think we know why.
Do you think – oh, here's a question. I asked this on Facebook this week. If Phil had been coaching the Knicks the last 3 years, do you think things would be a lot different?
I mean, we'd have more triangle. I don't know if anything else would be different.
Well, you'd have to think the guy that would be actually do a really good job of teaching the triangle would be Phil. He is – We agree he kind of sucks as a general manager, as a team president, But he was a very good coach.
True, but does the triangle make defense any better?
I don't know. I mean, his defenses were all really good, and the Bulls were really good defense. Had a really good defense.
Yeah, Jordan and Pippen were two of the best defenders in the league.
Yeah, I mean that helped. I'm just wondering, like, how much of a difference would it make if he was coaching the team? I'd have to think the team would be better. I'd have to think he'd make better moves as a coach than Hornacek or Fisher have been making.
I mean, I think they'd be a little better, but the roster's still bad.
Well, I guess, could you presume if someone else was the GM and he was just the coach, and so they were making more normal roster moves?
Because
you wouldn't have Phil as both the coach and the GM.
So you're saying the roster would be better in theory?
In theory, you'd be better by having a real GM and just having Phil as a coach. Or I guess the Phil that did both jobs, the roster's the same, but he's just coaching the team. The team would probably buy in more to the triangle, maybe as a positive. Because right now they're buying the Jack.
Yeah, but they can't defend anybody.
Maybe the team brings more effort if you have Phil Jackson coaching you. Instead of a coach that, like, right now you have coaches that, like, the team doesn't really even buy into as being the real coach because they think Phil's the real coach.
I think you're going to conspiracy Phil's not here theory here.
I feel like the team would be more motivated if Phil was the coach.
I feel like this is the InfoWars version of Knicks coaching.
These are alternative facts. Whatever. It's like Phil's going to coach the team. I know he's not going to. I'm not even calling him to coach the team because I know he's not physically able. He's only physically able at making my life miserable.
He's just healthy enough to make crappy roster moves.
Just healthy enough to annoy the crap out of us.
I do want it to come out if it was true or not that he was hard to reach during the trade deadline. I feel like not enough was made of that story. I mean, isn't it like, if that's true, isn't that a huge story?
Why don't people ask him more about it? Like, does he, like, can no one get to him for questions? Like, why doesn't he talk to the media ever?
I don't know.
Dude, I don't know. It's just like, didn't he come here and say he'd be more transparent? I remember he used to sit and do interviews during Summer League games. And I was like, this is awesome. Our GM really is going to talk to the media. And now he, like, I will talk to the media through obscure and hard to decipher Twitter posts.
Yeah, he pretty much did his, like, version of Drain the Swamp and,
it just lied completely about being more like...
Well, I guess it turned out exactly the same.
Yeah.
All right, so that's about all we have for today.
What did we learn today, Jay?
We learned that the tank is going fairly well.
The tank is on fire like my throat.
We learned that even though Mark can't talk, we still did a 45-minute episode.
Well, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
You're always complaining it's like too long. So you should wish colds on me more often.
You really sound like hell, man.
Oh my God, we got to end the show, Jack.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back. Well, I will be back next week. Mark is going on yet another vacation.
Yes, I'm an asshole.
So feel free to send your congratulations on Mark's fifth vacation of the year, nynixpodcast@gmail.com.
I don't think it's my fifth vacation of the year, but go on.
And, yeah, we'll be back soon. All right, goodbye, okay. Everybody.
Bye, love. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
It's over. It's mine.
It's time to go.
This is the end.
Say goodbye.
You better go away.
I'm gonna leave you.
It's the end.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Just leave me alone.
Feels so good. Just say.
We got a team Mark for getting through the episode.
Yeah.